Welcome to Inspirational Journeys, Stories That Matter. I'm your host, Ann Harrison, and I thank you for coming along with me to talk about Jesus and the writing life. God has given us each a story to share, and your story matters. Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Inspirational Journeys. For those of you watching on YouTube, for those of you on the podcast, you've already heard the introduction. But today, I'm bringing back a special guest who came to talk about his study of Revelation. Now we're going to talk about Elijah. And Paul Granger is an author. He's a podcast host. He hosts the Where Did You See God podcast. And he also does live videos on Instagram. That's how I found out about the new book. And as you know, my theme for this year for the podcast is walking with God as a writer. And I feel like this is so important. This whole when I've had enough or I've had enough concept, we've all faced it. So first of all, let me make welcome Paul Granger. Welcome, Paul.
Yeah, it's great to be here. You and I have already been dealing with some struggles to try to get this going. So
oh my gosh, that
tells you and I that God's about to do something. So I'm excited. Yeah,
God is about to do something huge. So I did a little brief intro. I did not read the bio, as you know. But if you want to elaborate on that a little bit more, go ahead. If not, we will get started.
I think the only thing that I would say is, the way I like to introduce myself, and I did this the last time I was on your show, is my job, my role, my invitation is to be an ambassador of Christ, and everything else falls under that. And what that also means is that on any given moment, I might not know how God's inviting me to serve. I didn't plan to write this book. This wasn't something I was sitting on for a while. And it's like, all right, it's time to write this book. But I sensed an invitation and I started writing. And that's basically what an ambassador does, is when they get the invitation, they get the command, they get the mission, the task. They decide, am I willing or not to say, here I am? And if so, then you just go, even if you don't know what's ahead. So that's who I am, just constantly trying to listen for God and respond accordingly.
Right. So I did not ask you this question this way because I did not know to ask this until I was at a 540 Writers Community meeting Thursday night a few weeks ago. Actually, it was a couple months ago, and somebody asked our panelists this one question. I might ask it to you. How did you know when God called you to write?
So it's interesting. So writing in general, it's always been something that's been within me, but that's a different question than what you're asking, because you're asking when I felt like God was calling me to write. Mm-hmm. And that's different because it's not just, do I like writing or am I good at writing? But it's those moments when it's just clear that there is a message or there are words or there's something that I know is outside of me or beyond me. And so there's been a few moments when I was on talking about the journey through Revelation. I had no plans of writing that, but it was just this clear sense, this peace, this awareness. And what affirmed that is when I started to put my fingers onto the keyboards, how quickly stuff just came out. I contrast that with moments where I have ideas of what I want to write and writer's block is right there. Or uh-huh. I start to go and I kind of stall out, or sometimes it's not that I'm stalling out, but I just have this deep awareness. This is just me writing, and there's nothing wrong with just me writing. But when I'm stepping into something that I want it to be for God, I can tell the difference now between something that's just me and something that's coming from beyond me. And so, the moment that I know God was inviting me to write, it's those moments where I'm like, this is beyond me. This wasn't my idea. This information in my mind, that's not for me. The words coming out, I didn't plan these. Those are the moments that I know it's God. And those are really exciting because I'm like, I don't know where this is heading, but I'm game for the ride.
So my question to you is, how does the story of in Elijah 17 through 19, how does that relate to our lives today as Christians?
Yeah. So as I noted, this wasn't a book that I had planned to write. And it came about actually in a really hard moment. there was something that I was navigating that I'd been navigating for a long time. There had been many hard moments already. I thought I was perhaps past some of the hardest of the moments. And one day it was just a very, very painful day. And I found myself feeling that deep sense that you mentioned earlier. Like, God, I've had enough. Like, it wasn't a statement of giving up. It wasn't a statement of anger at God, but it was a statement of recognizing that I had no capacity left. Like, that my strength, my resolve, my desire, everything just felt at its lowest and weakest. And while I still desired to serve God, I had no idea how it could keep on going. And as I was praying, I felt like God brought to mind a very specific moment. And I couldn't remember where it was, but I remember there being a moment where Elijah expressed something like that as well. And so I looked it up. It's actually in 1 Kings 19:4. And he says, this is after, by the way, he has been serving God with his life for years and years. He has just been a part of one of the most powerful displays of God, where all the prophets of this other God had like spent hours trying to get their God to call down fire on this altar, and had been cutting themselves, had been dancing around and shouting to the point of exhaustion. And meanwhile, Elijah's kind of prodding them on like, oh, maybe your God's just going to the bathroom or something. And and then he's like, all right, everyone gather around. He tells them to pour bucket after bucket after bucket of water on the altar. And then he invites God to bring fire, and God brings fire that just not just isn't stopped by the water, but burns everything, burns the dust, burns the altar. Like a phenomenal display, a moment that should have been a moment of victory, not just for God, but for Elijah, who had been so faithful. And instead, Jezebel vows to kill him, and he goes on the run. And this is when he says in 1 Kings 19:4, I have had enough, Lord, take my life. And that's the depth of pain he was feeling, of exhaustion he was feeling, of awareness of his lack of capacity and ability he was feeling. And yet he is saying this with an awareness of God's presence. He is saying this to God, aware that God was still God and God was still good. And when I read that, I was encouraged, because that's not the end of his story. Like, his story continues. God provides for him. And the angel even says to him, the journey ahead actually is too much for you. So here's some food, get some rest, and then let's go. Basically, acknowledgement of God saying, you know what? Yes, it is actually too much for you. I understand that you have had enough, but I am enough. And it was so encouraging for me, because I realized that in that moment, even though my hardship had taken me just as low as I could go, I could, one, acknowledge the reality of that. I didn't have to pretend like things were okay. I could say, yes, this situation is awful. And two, I could say, and yet God is still God and God is still good. And I can keep on going, not because of my resolve or strength, but because of his. And it was in that moment that it just became clear, I need to get my fingers on the keyboard. I didn't even know what I was going to write. In fact, what's funny is the way that the book ended up coming about was not the plan. I just started typing and I realized, oh, I could actually divide these three chapters into smaller sections. And each chapter that I write can be focused in on a theme that's found in here. I didn't know what the theme was going to be until I started reading and writing. And it was beautiful, because what materialized was a book that not just that I'm, you know, I'm really happy with, but more like God was having me write it as part of my processing, as part of my healing. It is what God decided to use to get me through this hard season, to the point that a week after publishing it, when I hit another hard moment, I felt like God was saying, hey, I've already given you the words, go back and read that one specific chapter. And so I read this chapter that I'd written a week before, realizing that it wasn't me that had written it, but it was God writing it for me, knowing that I would need it. And so, you know, Elijah, his story is so powerful because he represents somebody who is very much, to the best of his ability, seeking God, but even he is facing hardships. and God meets him. And so how much more for us in our situations, if God is God for Elijah, he's the same God for us.
Right. I've had a different situation, but I've been there too. I've been to the point where I've had enough and ready to throw in my hands up. And the Lord said, I got you. I got this. Yeah. And, you know, and we all go through that. And sometimes even as writers, we get to that point where we just can't write another word. We just can't go any further. And sometimes I'll be like all over the place. Like, what am I supposed to do? I know I've got this to do, but I can't push myself forward. And then you just have to walk away and let God do, you know, what he's going to do. And that's so amazing. So what is the takeaway that you want people to walk away with when they read your book?
Yeah, that's why I was encouraged that God highlighted these different moments in Elijah's story, because I think the takeaway is, you know, you kind of just said it, you've been in a similar place, but it's different. I think everybody, will be able to resonate this with this in some way, because as you noted, all of us have been at that point where we're like, oh, I've got no more strength. I've got no more understanding. I've got no more capacity. But what that functionally looks like is different, because there are some people that are in situations that God's inviting them to leave that situation. Some people are in situations that God's inviting them to stay in that situation. And so it can be hard to find something prescriptive that says, well, this is what you're supposed to do. Mm-hmm. Well, what Elijah's story tells us is the prescriptive thing is to seek God, because at these different moments, God met him in different ways. The first part of his story that you find in 17 is after he confronts Ahab, who is noted as the worst king that Israel had ever had, like immoral, cruel. And then Jezebel was right there with him, exceptionally cruel. Like, it was incredibly risky for Elijah to go and speak bluntly and boldly to Ahab, but he was so confident in who God was and what God was inviting him to that he went and did it. And when hardship hit, this drought, this threat from the king, God provided him this relaxing place by a brook where ravens came and fed him. And sometimes that's what God will do, is he will give us a period of peace and restoration. But then God pulls him from that. God says, the brook's drying up. I want you to go to this widow. And widows were already looked down on. And widows were definitely not the ones that you would go to for provision. But this widow in particular, she was at the end. She had had enough. She and her son had nothing left except for a small amount to make one last meal that they would eat and die. And that's when Elijah meets her. But Elijah tells her, you do this thing, you know, God's wants you to provide me some food, but if you do, he's actually going to provide you with unending food for the rest of this drought. And so Elijah, who is normally the one that would go and be the one fixing situations in people's minds, is the one being served, right? And sometimes that's where God invites us, to be willing to be served by others, even those that we may think are in harder situations than us, or are below us, or not who we would ever go to. To be served by. And, you know, and Elijah's story keeps on going. He keeps on having these moments where you learn a different way that God meets him, a different way that God provides. But throughout each of them, God is provider. God is present. God is working. Even in the worst of the moments, God has not ceased to see him, love him, and have a plan for him. And that's what I want people to understand, is it is okay when, not if, but when you get to those moments where you're like, God, I have had enough. You do not need to feel shame in feeling that way, because that is actually a real way to feel. Jesus felt it. Jesus said, you know, if it is possible, take this cup from me. Like, different words, but same sentiment.
Right.
God, what I'm stepping into is too much. Can there be another way? But not my will, but yours be done. It is okay if Elijah, if Jesus, if so many others hit this point where they're like, God, this is too much for me. It's okay if you're feeling it. But the other thing I want people to come away with is, not only does God know, but he is still loving, and he is still powerful, and he is still present. And he sees your situation, and he knows where it's going next. He knew that for Elijah. He knew that for Jesus, and he knows that for you. And so be encouraged. It's okay if you are in that low place, because God is always enough, even when we've had enough.
Yep. And when you said seek God, I just thought of Matthew 11:28. Come unto me, for I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, learn from me. For my burden is easy, and my yoke is easy, and my burden's light. And I'm paraphrasing, but still, that's where you go to God, you go to Jesus, and he will, even when you got enough, and he'll give you that rest.
And what's fun too is sometimes we feel like we absolutely need the rest, and then we kind of want to stop traveling after that.
I know, it's like we want to just stay there and float.
Right. And that's what we see with the brook. It's like God could have made that brook not run out. It could have been a natural spring that never dried up. He could have made the ravens never stop feeding, but God wanted to do something abundantly more than Elijah was asking for, imagining, right? Ephesians 3:20. Mm-hmm. But then at this point where he says, I've had enough, God could have said, you know what? You're right. I'll send someone else. But instead, he actually gave him the strength to go on. When Elijah ate and rested a couple times, he got up and then he traveled for 40 days, like walked for 40 days, and then had one of the most phenomenal experiences with God in all of scripture that, I mean, people continue to quote. It's that moment where it's the fire and the earthquake, but God wasn't in that. It's all these huge things and God wasn't in that. But then there was this whisper. And we love to quote that passage, but that passage came after Elijah's moment of saying, I've had enough, after Elijah's moment of seeking and serving. And when we are at that point where like, I need rest, God, but I think I'm kind of done with all this. It could be that God's like, I'm about to reveal myself to you in a deeper way than you've ever known, beyond what you can imagine.
And that's when God can answer your prayer with wait. Give it time. Don't give up. And it's like God at the still small voice of the Holy Spirit says, ask Elijah, what are you doing here? Or if you read it from King James, what doest thou here?
It's
like that still small voice. And it's like, sometimes for me, I don't know about you, but sometimes it's not a voice. It's a thought. It's a silent whisper. This is so good. Good. So I have a question, because I know you're in between seasons. What is coming up next for the podcast?
So I think I can share it here first. There's been an idea that I've been sitting on, and I'm still fleshing out what it will look like. I never planned to do seasons. And it's funny because there are four themed seasons, and each of them came about from God's prompting and not my own good ideas. Three of them were ones that I was like, are you sure, God? I don't know how this is going to work. And God just laughed at me. It's been weird. This is possibly the longest I've gone between releasing episodes. It's been really interesting for me. And I know that the podcast isn't done, but I can tell you, I know that it's not, because there is a sense that I had a while ago that I thought about enacting, and I think that I'm going to enact it very soon, that I'm going to actually shift what this podcast actually is, from being a podcast with guests and their stories to actually being what it has always been, a space of ministry. Like, what God's called me to is not to be a podcaster, but to create authentic, accessible spaces to process him, to process life. And the way that that's built out is I tell every guest every time that this is not about making a podcast episode. If it turns into an episode, great, that's a nice byproduct. But this is about how God can meet us in this conversation. And if at the end of the conversation you say, you know what, thanks, but I don't want this to be released, then it won't be. And what that means is that the purpose of that time is the conversation itself. Now, all but one time, people have said, you know what, I want others to be able to experience this as well. There's one time that the person was like, I don't feel like I'm supposed to release this. But then it becomes like a ministry for others. But I realized, what if I just really lean into that and promote and communicate this space as the authentic, accessible space that could lead to episodes? In other words, make myself available to just sit and talk with people, to process God, to process life, and to have press record and have it going. And then leave it up to the person if they want to share what God has done with others. And so it's not actually different than what I've been doing, but I feel like God's invited me to communicate it and set it up in such a way that it's no longer just a straightforward podcast, but a ministry where a podcast is a byproduct of it. And the reason that I know that it's supposed to happen is God's done something that he's done many times. He's had somebody reach out to me out of the blue that I never expected, not a stranger or anything like that, not from Podmatch or anything, but somebody that I knew that I never thought would reach out to me to say, I feel like God wants me to share my story. And it's those moments I'm like, all right, God, like I'm paying attention, I'm listening. And I reached out to her yesterday and said, you know what, I'm still figuring out what this looks like, but that doesn't have to stop us from going ahead and setting up a conversation. So that conversation will happen soon. I imagine that the next season will start soon after that. And I'm curious to see what God does through that space. But I really hope what it communicates to people is not, oh, wow, this is a great podcast, but oh, wow, like it's possible to create authentic, accessible space. And if God can equip Paul to do it, maybe God can equip me or others to do the same. I want this to spread, right, beyond just the name of my podcast.
I love that because, and I kept thinking, because I was listening to another podcast called What's Your Story, and they did a small series on hope. Mm-hmm. And for some reason, I thought, what if Paul did something like that on Where Did You See God? A season about hope.
Because my last two seasons have been a little daunting in their theme.
I know you did. I haven't listened to everything.
Sitting in suffering.
Sitting in suffering. And what about healing? And
yeah.
Oh, what about hope? I don't know why God laid that on my heart to tell you that. And I don't know what he wants to do with that. But that's what he's, you know.
Yeah. Well, and that is, even if it's not a direct theme, it has been clear that that needs to be a consistent theme, because especially in the Sitting and Suffering series, it could be easy for that to seem like a daunting thing, but these conversations led to places of hope. People who got to the point of saying, I've had enough, but then somehow have gotten past it. And now they recognize, oh, my understanding of life was very small and God's is very big. What if I lean more into him, sought him more? And you find hope in that, knowing that God sees things that we can't. He can provide things that we can. He can be the strength that we can't provide. And there's so much hope when the hope is from something beyond us.
Right. That is so good. And you know, it's interesting how we've made that, not only through Podmatch, which Podmatch has become hard for me to use now, but I won't go into all that. But still, it's like, since we've connected, we both shared, I mean, we've both said, okay, God told me to tell you to reach out to this person. Right. Or you sent, oh gosh, I can't remember her name. She's a poet.
Lauren.
Lauren. Medina. And I sent to you Laura Deal and Susan. Not Susan. Yeah. I can't.
Yeah, I'm trying to remember now too. It's been
bipolar.
So much time. Yeah. Susan Johnson, I think.
Susan Johnson. Great, yeah, I was about to say her name, but I backed off. But yeah, that was a great story. I actually watched her TEDx talk. She sent me the link to it. That was that. I didn't have to read the book after watching the TEDx talk. I was able to talk to her.
Yeah.
And so I think God is still going to use us in that way. Even though my audience is writers and authors and maybe readers, God can still use this. And it's interesting because I actually scaled back on this show. I said I called it taking a step back, but I consider it scaled back. And there are times when I'm like, Lord, what am I going to do? And God gives me the solo that, you know, when I don't have a guest, God gives it to me, right? I'm not scheduling things way in advance like I did. Yeah. God's like, that's not what I want for you. So that is, I mean, I love how your podcast is actually turning into a ministry. If it goes live across the, you know, the airwaves and, then it goes live.
And as you and I have discussed, you know, the metrics of success that the world sees, that we tend to see, aren't the metrics of success for God. And so even like this, I've had enough book, just the fact that God used it to speak to me a week after publishing it, like that is that success. That means it was worth the time to write it. But sometimes God does more. I mean, I was encouraged. There's somebody, a friend of mine, shared it with somebody in England, and she was just sharing about how much God worked through it to speak to her. And I was like, all right, so if one person is drawn closer to God, that's success. Like, that's enough for me. Anything more than that, like, is not necessary, but is nice. And I think, too, the other metrics of success, and I want to say this to the writers that are listening, the content creators that are listening. One metric of success that trips us up is you have to keep a steady course that continues to grow in scope. So if you end up doing what you and I have described and what you described, scaling back, that looks like unsuccessfulness. Because if you're doing less, if you're changing things, then that means you must have gotten on the wrong track. But I want to just encourage people that when you are trying to seek God with your gifts, the metric of success is, to the best of your ability, are you listening for God and responding? Because if he calls you to pause a ministry that you love and invites you to do something else, that's because he's the one that's doing the ministry. Like I said, I've never taken this long of a break from the podcast, but I've self-published on Amazon like 5 or so books in that time frame. 3 of them were devotionals that I'd already written, but 2 of them were books that I hadn't planned that God put my mind, and in the course of a day, both of them in the course of the day, wrote it out and got it on Amazon. And that's been beautiful because I've been wanting to write more. And so God apparently wanted to create the space for me to do that. But I have to hold all these things loosely. For anybody watching, I've got a picture behind me that my wife did some hand lettering that says, hold things loosely. That's been the theme of my life for definitely the last 5 years. But even in this season, I can seek to listen for God, seek to respond, but in everything that I'm sensing, am I willing to hold it loosely just in case I'm misperceiving it, just because God wants to do abundantly more? And if I stay in that positioning, then God can actually do things like bring about books that I never planned that can end up being beautiful displays of his work and plant seeds that I might never see the fruit in my lifetime, but God sees it and he's the gardener.
Wow. That is amazing. That is so good. I love that. So, and of course, you just kind of explained your process. You just started writing it because God wrote it for you. You didn't have to outline it or anything like that.
Yeah.
And I like that when the process comes natural. Mm-hmm. Even in my fiction, God, because I'm writing middle grade fantasy, even in my fiction, God is still at work.
Yeah.
Because he knows that this is something kids like to read and he wants to reach kids where they are. So after working on this book and doing different iterations of it, trying different things, God showed me, no, I want you to write this for kids. And so God has a plan, even in what we think is, you know, our creative stuff. God has a plan and he's got us. So Paul, we could sit and talk for hours, but I don't want to, I want to be conscious of your time and all of that. So, where can people find you online?
Yeah. If you go to wheredidyouseegod.com, that's where you can find the podcast, the books, shorter form things that I've written. I actually have another podcast that I don't think I've added there yet, but through Youth with a Mission Virginia, YWAM Virginia, called What's God Doing? Where that's a weekly one. So I have been podcasting, just not my normal podcast. But I know what God's called me to do is to create content, but to more importantly, create authentic, accessible spaces. The content becomes a way to create those spaces, but that's what I want that page to be, is a space where if you have questions about God, questions about life, questions about who you are, that going there can be a way to allow us together to explore that, to press into that. And whether it is something that I've already written that resonates with you, or you end up coming and having a conversation with me that may or may not become an episode, whatever it is, God has called us to function as a body, to function together. To love God and love others means to be in relationship with God and relationship with others. And if I can be a part of helping you to find that, then I want to do that.
That is so good. That is so good. So I know we've been sharing Bible verses, but do you have one that God's laid on your heart for today?
I mean, it's my go-to more and more, but it's what I referenced earlier, Ephesians 3:20. To him who's able to do far abundantly more than you can ask for or imagine because of the power at work within you. And what I love about that is it makes it clear there are things that we are asking for. There are things that we are imagining. There are best case scenarios in our mind. And it's not that God's discounting them. It's that he actually wants to do more than that. He actually sees our best ideas, our best hopes, and says, those are small compared to what I'm capable of, compared to what I'm seeing that go even beyond you. But then the piece that people forget that's at the end, they'll stop short where it says, because of the power at work with you in you. This is something you and I know to be true, that the Spirit is real and the Spirit is working. Jesus said, yes. I want to send a helper. And so sometimes we will try to just seek God without the Spirit, or we'll try to do ministry without the Spirit, or we'll try to write without the Spirit. But it's that power at work within us that leads to the abundantly more. Yes. And so if we want to see abundantly more, then how can we grow in inviting the Spirit to work? Even if we're like, I don't even know what this Holy Spirit is. That's okay. Sometimes I'm like, I don't know what's going on. But extending an invitation, welcoming the Holy Spirit, whether you understand it or not, is a step towards experiencing that abundantly more than we can ask or imagine.
Yes, so good, so good, so good. So, I know that you have said a lot, but is there any one last word before we close in prayer that God is leading you to say?
It's there, and I'm seeing if the words will materialize, but it is to those that are in the midst of creating content and, you know, writing or whatever they're creating. It's those moments where you're like, you feel like God's given you something and it's really hard. It's just not coming together.
I'm sorry. I didn't mean to interrupt, but when that happens, when you see something's there, but the words aren't coming, just let go and let God, because God will give it to you. Don't give up. Just step away, be still, and let God love you through it.
Yeah. Because sometimes that's the thing that God's trying to create, is that connection with him, is that deepening of our spiritual maturity, not written words. Because God doesn't need us to create written words. Mm-mm. He chooses to use that. But we get trapped sometimes. We feel like, this book is the thing that I'm supposed to write. But man, some of the stories we love to tell are this author started writing this book, but it took him 20 years. But after 20 years, he finished. Like, we talk about like, oh man, it's so amazing. It's such a rich thing. But then if we're in the midst of that story, like, we don't want that.
No, we don't want it. Time
too long feels like too long. But what if in your writing process, God sees your thoughts that you think you're supposed to write this book? He knows what you're imagining, that this will be a great book. And he's saying, that's nice, but I want to do abundantly more. I want to deepen our relationship. I want to deepen your faith. This book is actually going to take 10 years. You don't know it yet, or this book's actually never going to get finished getting written. Like, you don't know it yet, but it was never about the book. So that's how I want to encourage people, is don't get trapped in your idea of what God's calling you to do.
That's the story of my life.
Because God's not calling you to do something. He's calling you to seek him first. So at any point that you feel trapped, you're completely right. Just take a break, pause, breathe, and say, all right, God, I want to seek you. And then go from there.
You know, that's kind of the story of my writing life, because I've written several things on my computer, tried to write several books thinking, okay, so I need to do this because I need to do this in, you know, trying to write a blind character, trying to do this, that, and the other. And part of it, sometimes when you think God's giving you stuff to write, it's not to go to be published. Right. It's things to write to teach you the craft and to teach you, you know, to teach you who you really are, so that God can define you as the writer he wants you to be.
Yeah. Yep.
And that's what's happened.
Yeah.
That's what's happened. So why don't you close us out in prayer? Because like I said, I want to be time conscious, but I feel like God laid that on my heart to say.
Yeah. Yeah. Let me pray. Father God, I just want to thank you that you are God and you are good. And I thank you that you actually know us better than we even know ourselves. You understand what we're desiring, but you know what we need. You know what we think our lives should look like, but you know the abundantly more that you have in store, not just for us, but beyond us, for those we interact with, for those we love, for those that will come after us. And so right now, I just pray that you would mature our understanding of reality beyond a self-focused one, beyond a one that's limited to the scope of our humanity and our lifespan. Mature our understanding of reality to one that's conscious of the eternal, conscious of the spiritual, conscious of you being limitless, of you being all wise and all powerful. Because when we mature in that understanding, we can actually operate in counterintuitive ways, in ways that are beyond our capacity or knowledge or strength. We can be ambassadors of Christ in moments that we could never have dreamed would happen, and spaces that we could never have gotten to on our own. So I pray for everybody that's listening that desires to seek you, desires to serve you, but keeps feeling tripped up. Or for those that feel like they've had enough, that they've been trying to serve you so hard and everything is falling apart. I thank you that you see them right now. You know them, you love them, you are with them, and you have not given up. Because when things are enough for them, you will always be enough. So I pray that they would have a sense of that today, that they would feel a restoration like Elijah, whether it's by the brook with the ravens or with the angel cooking food, that they would get the restoration they need to know that it is too much for them, and yet to know that that doesn't mean they have to stop, that you can be their strength when there's nothing left. I just pray in his holy name. Amen.
Amen. So we challenge you today. And as Paul talked about what God's success means different for our success, when you touched one line, I challenge you to go out there and read to get inspired. Pray for inspiration. Write something inspiring. Share your creation with the world as God leads you to do so. For when you've touched one life, you've touched thousands. And when you touch one life, God can take that content you create and touch millions. Forget thousands. Let's go millions. He uses it in a way that he sees fit, not necessarily where you may find success, but where he sees fit and reaches the people he wants to reach. And maybe it would be something, the content you create is also meant for you. So go out there and create the content God inspires you to create and share it, and then give it to God and let him take it. For again, when you've touched one life, God can touch millions. Thanks for joining us on Inspirational Journeys. And remember, folks, your story matters. So let's go change the world with our words. Have a blessed day, everyone, and take care. I'll see you next time.
Hey guys, this is Anne from the Inspirational Journeys podcast, and my special guest, Joe Templin, has an offer for my listeners and viewers. Take it away, Joe.
Anne, thank you. And again, thank you for bringing me on. This was a wonderful conversation. I'm glad that I could reach out and help your people grow. And to continue to help them to grow, we have an offer. If they go to the website everyday-excellence.com, and use the code Inspirational Journeys at checkout from the shop, they can get a 10% discount on anything there to be able to help them with their personal journey to grow and inspire others.
You heard it here, folks. You get a 10% discount on everything in the store at everyday-excellence.com using promo code Inspirational Journeys. Happy rating, writing, and celebrate the day. Challenge you today to go out there and read to get inspired, write something inspiring, and share your creation with the world. For when you've touched one life, you've touched thousands. You've been listening to Inspirational Journeys, Stories That Matter, with your host, Anne Harrison. If you like what you've heard on today's episode, be sure to subscribe to the podcast, share it with your friends, and leave a rating or review on your favorite podcast platform. Visit my website at AnneWritesInspiration.com, subscribe to my YouTube channel, and follow me on Facebook and Pinterest at AnneWritesInspiration and on Twitter at AnneWrites75 for more inspirational content. Thanks for listening. And remember, your story matters.